Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, only 2 days left to go to Christmas. And as promised last week, I told you that Bishop Bradley would be with us. And Bishop Bradley, welcome.
Well, good morning, Deacon Louis, and good morning to all your listeners. Merry almost Christmas to everyone.
Yes, and so we're going to talk a little bit about fourth Sunday of Advent and about Christmas. And we also have Vicki Cessna with us. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you.
And she's the Director of Communications down here at the Diocese. And of course, if you're interested, anything about the church, anything about the diocese, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. And also any other information about the church, or if you're, you know, thinking about becoming Catholic, you know, what is the Catholic Church all about? You can go to a Catholic Mass. The only thing you can't do is receive Holy Communion, but you can listen to the Word, you can listen to the sermon, and so we welcome you. We hope that you, if you don't have any place to go this Christmas, come to the Catholic Church. And just remember, if you want to, you can go up for a blessing. You just cross your arms across your chest and just go up for a blessing and not receive the Eucharist. Because once we receive the Eucharist, that's really showing everyone that we believe what the Catholic Church teaches. We believe in Jesus Christ fully. And of course, if we haven't been baptized or anything, that has to happen first too. So we welcome you and hope that you can come or at least be prayerful with us on this time of prayer. And believe me, now the world needs prayer more than ever. And also you can go to EWTN, nice place to go to learn things about the church without actually going to the church. You can go to EWTN.com, and of course they're on TV and on all the dish networks. But we're going to get right into the readings, and then Bishop Bradley is going to give us some comments about not only for Sunday of Advent, but Christmas as well. So our first reading for this fourth Sunday of Advent is from the book of Micah, and that's Micah 5, 1 through 4. It's Micah 5, 1 through 4. Thus says the Lord, you Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord, his God, and they shall remain. For now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our responsorial psalm today is from Psalm 80. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
O shepherd of Israel, hearken. From your throne upon the cherubim, shine forth. Rouse your power and come to save us.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine and protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man, whom you yourself made strong.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
May your help be with the man of your right hand, with the Son of Man, whom you yourself made strong. Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life, and we will call upon your name.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
Our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 to 10. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God. First he says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. Then he says, behold, I come to do your will. He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, first chapter, 39th verse through the 45th verse. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent, and kind of to wake us up a little bit. You know, usually we have a little bit more time, but I remember there was one Christmas where we had the fourth Sunday of Advent, and on Monday was Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So we're getting a little bit of more distance here, but it was kind of hard for us to decide on what to read today.
Well, yes, because in just a short time we'll be back in church to celebrate Christmas. So this is the shortest week in the whole church year. It only lasts a day and a half.
Yes.
So the fourth week of Advent is down to today, as you just alluded to, Deacon Louis. And by tomorrow, Monday, which is Christmas Eve, by dusk, we'll be ready to be starting to celebrate the Christmas Vigil Masses for those who come the night before, Christmas Midnight Mass,
yes,
for those that love that tradition, or any of the Masses on Christmas Day. So it is a short week and a very busy time, and as I like to refer to this day, it's the eve of Christmas. It's the eve of Christmas Eve is what we're celebrating right today. So, we talked about these readings. I mean, we've just read these readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent, but it's hard to not have Christmas on our mind as well. So, but they're beautiful readings, and they each of them anticipate the coming of Christ, of course, and the references all throughout the prophet Micah, the letter to the Hebrews, and of course we see the first activity as Mary immediately after the Annunciation immediately sets out and goes on this arduous journey through the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth and to stay with her. It wasn't just a day trip. It was a couple of days to get there on foot. And then she stayed with her, as the scriptures remind us, for 3 months, helping Elizabeth, who was in her final trimester of getting ready to give birth to the one that we would come to know as John the Baptist. But in that greeting, in that moment when these two women, both filled with, pregnant with holy people, John the Baptist and Jesus himself, we see that beautiful sense that John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb for joy at the encounter with Jesus coming inches apart from one another within their mother's wombs. It's beautiful, beautiful insight there. So,
and it's hard to imagine, too. I was thinking yesterday, it's hard to imagine, too, whether these children are urging their mothers on, right? I mean, it's so beautiful when you think about it. And Vicki, as a mother, can probably attest to this. You know, that child moving inside of the mother is just an amazing miracle. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're both miracle babies, too. Uh-huh.
Sure, yeah, for sure. So, but yes, it's a wonderful time of the year. And it's hard for us to keep focused on the spiritual aspects of, all of the excitement of these days as we get ready for the secular side of the celebration of Christmas. But it's really important that we take this time to think about, ponder God's word. What does it mean for us in our lives and helping us to perhaps have the proper mindset as we're ready to celebrate Christmas.
And that it's a holy time of the year, too. You know, I mentioned to somebody, they said, you know, happy holidays, you know, and it's actually happy holy days.
That's right.
You know, and this is a very holy time of the year. And, of course, leading all the way up to the Epiphany, which is in a few weeks, these are times to be reflective.
Mm-hmm.
What is my life about?
Sure.
You know, and Bishop, you always talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And God shows us in a very powerful way, I come as a baby, but in 33 years, I'm going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'll return and I'll be with my church and with my people and with you with the Holy Eucharist. But that's my life.
Mm-hmm.
As God. And I'm setting this in front of you. What is your life like?
That's right.
What do you ponder? What do you think about?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about your mom? I think the beautiful thing is that we talk about these mothers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great reminder for us. What's my relationship with my parents?
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why we recently consecrated the diocese to the protection and intercession of our Blessed Mother. I mean, who, you know, we don't have to go through a process like that to know that she's with us and overseeing, and that's her role from heaven. She does everything that she possibly can to guide us always to Jesus. That's been Mary's role since what we just heard about here in the Gospel today. But to formally consecrate the diocese to our Blessed Mother is really, practically speaking, reminding each of us that we need to be mindful of our parent, of our mother.
Mm.
I mean, we're very grateful, obviously, to all of our human parents and everything that they have done and continue to do for us. But we also have our spiritual mother, Mary, who is the mother of the church, and to be mindful of her desire to do everything that she can to help us. And so the consecration of the diocese that we did on December 8th is really more for us than for Mary. It's really to remind us that we need to be clearly trying to emulate her. You know, she gave birth to Jesus, but her real claim to fame, besides that, was that she was the great disciple of Jesus. She followed her son. She did his will. She encouraged everyone to follow him as well. So she was, that's her role. That's been her role. That continues to be her role. And she wants to do that for us too. So we have to open our hearts to be able to be led in those directions. And so, you know, when we had the consecration, Vicki, I know that you have done something that might be helpful for some of our listeners.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We have prayer cards that are available. You may download them on our website, and we're going to have some printed and available. I've already had numerous requests from parishes around the diocese. But these prayer cards list 10 different intentions that we can remember to pray to Mary for her intercession, that are excerpted from Bishop's homily on that day of the consecration Mass. And so they're just wonderful reminders, and any day, whether you want to do that as a family, at mealtime, or whether you want to start your day off and asking for Mary's guidance and protection for all types of things, you know, from ridding our culture of evil to praying for more vocations to praying for the sanctity of our family life and and more. This is just a wonderful little way that we all can be united in our prayers to Mary, and as you said, Bishop, emulating her wonderful model of grace and of obedience and just such confidence that she had. And it, like when Elizabeth says to her, you believed, blessed are you for believing.
Yes.
And how hard is that for us to believe that things are going to be okay in God's will? I mean, I think that's why we think of our moms. We call our moms, is everything going to be okay? You know, I get those calls. And so I make those calls to my mom, who I'm fortunate to still have. So anyway.
Yeah, and that's beautiful because we make ourselves vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
We ask that question, is everything going to be all right?
Mm-hmm.
And who better to ask that question of than Our Lady,
right?
Than the Blessed Virgin Mary, and our own parents. And then the roles kind of reverse a little bit as time goes on. Then we have to comfort our elderly parents as our parents get older. And we need to be that comfort. But where do we get that comfort? Where do we get that strength? Because it's beyond any of us to be able to handle that. And that can only come from Jesus. That can only come from God. That can only come relationship with the church, receiving the sacraments, to have that strength. And I just, you know, we wonder why things are in the state they are. Sometimes it's just because we don't know what to do. Well, we're trying to instruct that. Go to Mass.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
go to Mass.
Well, you know, and I think that's reflected in the readings too. When we hear, even in the first reading of the prophet Micah, you know, Bethlehem was a little dump, a hole in the wall. Nobody paid any attention to Bethlehem. It was just one of those places that you would have to want to go there in order to get there. And so, and yet what we hear the prophet Micah saying in that prophecy is, too small to be among the clans of Judah, and yet from you shall come forth the one who is to be ruler in Israel. You know, and so sometimes, you know, what we think, our ability, our ways of making determinations about who's great and who's not, and who's important and who's not, you know, we use our human standards in order to make those judgments, and so often they're just not in the big picture accurate. And so, you know, I think we come to realize that God looks at us and he sees something very different than when we look at one another. I mean, God looks at us and he sees, you know, a person, a human being that made in his image and likeness whom he loves and sees as valued. You know, when sometimes we're ready to just discard people or ignore them or marginalize them or pay no attention to them, they have no worth or value. It's nobody in God's sight that would qualify. So, you know, I think it's just an important reminder, just that kind of a little insight. Bethlehem, this little hole in the wall, became the place that everybody came to, that came to understand that the Savior of the world was born. The shepherds, the kings, you know, everybody converged there because of what happened on that Christmas night.
Amen. Amen. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're visiting with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and also Vicki Cessna, and we're glad you're with us here. So we've got about 10 minutes left of the program, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about Christmas here in a couple of days.
Yes. Well, you know, all of these readings that we've just discussed are really putting us right into that frame of reference. Mary, I mean, the process has already begun. Mary has now conceived Jesus. She's off spending 3 months with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is about to give birth to John the Baptist. And Mary will go back home and then make that journey from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. I've made that journey, you know, when I was in the Holy Land, and it is far.
Yeah.
It is a far trek, you know, to think how far they had to go in order to get to Bethlehem to register for the census, of course. And she was pregnant and ready to give birth to make that kind of an arduous trip on foot, for the most part, probably. It's just, I think it's just so important that we not romanticize, you know, the beautiful stories of Christmas that sometimes we do through the Christmas carols and the and the beautiful hymns that sounds like, you know, just magically all of this happened.
Right.
It was through a lot of human effort and and struggle. So to think that they still had to stay focused on the fact that Mary knew that she was carrying this child that was destined to be the savior of the world. It's just, it puts it in a whole different perspective. But it's in process. So, what we'll come back together, tomorrow night, for those that come for the vigil mass and or the midnight mass or Christmas Day, is to celebrate the unfolding of that, wonderful event, the event that really changed the world for all time.
And just like their lives full of trials and difficulties, so can we have those trials and difficulties in our lives and how we deal with that. You know, what's my response? You know, and many today or in the next few days or the next few weeks, you know, what's our relationship with our family members?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we offering any forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
And I think every year, you know, and of course, springtime, we'll go into Easter, we go through this process year after year of trying to be holy, trying to be, and I think that's the key word, trying to be. I think many of us get frustrated and we say, well, I'm not holy enough, and or I'm not, I've made mistakes, or I've gotten divorced, or things like, and they fall, and we fall away. And we want you to come back. God wants you to come back. You're part of this family. And this is the most key point this time of the year, is to think about that. God is your father. Jesus is your brother. The Blessed Mother is your mother. You know, to come home.
And, you know, I think, as you said, the trying to be holy, it implies the fact that there's an awareness, that, you know, kind of that sense of self-awareness. Sometimes I think, you know, there may be those who lack that self-awareness in terms of, you know, everything's just fine, you know.
Right.
When in reality, it's not. You know, if their life is plagued with you know, what might be considered sinful practices and things of that nature. I mean, that's really, as we know, not the way to true and lasting happiness.
Right.
And so that's always just going to lead people in the wrong direction. So, you know, coming to Christmas can be that opportunity to just stop and say, where is my life going?
Yes.
What is the direction? And do I have a goal? And what's the goal? To be successful, happy, wealthy, or is it to go to heaven? And, you know, if the goal is not to go to heaven, then something is not right, because that's the only direction in life that will help us to correct course and to, you know, through that self-awareness, to be able to then begin the process of trying to be holy.
Amen.
Which means that we're not perfect, and maybe it's going to take a lot of effort. But if we don't have a goal, if we don't know what we're trying to accomplish,
yes,
we won't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And heaven, yes, but also what's our legacy going to be? What's our legacy with our family? What's our legacy with our friends? How will people remember us? I think that's part of it too. So, I don't know, Vicki, if you've got any thoughts or thoughts about Christmas, or we've got about 5 minutes left here.
Well, I was, I agree that these are just beautiful readings with the imagery, and I like Bishop's reminder of how, every day in ordinary, Jesus came into the world. And I always love the fact that the angel comes to the shepherds and the significance of here they were, like, again, the low, in some ways, right? Like,
that's
the
right.
Low, not the lowliest, but just like us.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't like this angel going to the kings.
That's
and
right.
And so I always love that part of the nativity story. Mm-hmm. Like, and then they're like, oh, what's going on? And they're sleeping, of course.
That's right.
Kind of like we
that's
are
right.
until Christmas. So that's just our quest to be holy, just like the shepherds.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because God kind of does work from the bottom up, doesn't mm-hmm. he, Bishop?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of starts at the rock bottom, and then he works his way up through the ranks
of
helping us.
Well, you know, this, I think God tries to be in touch with everybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just... sometimes the lowlier you are, the more able you are to realize I need some help.
Oh, good point.
When you're kind of at the top of the heap, when everything is going perfectly fine,
mm-hmm.
right?
When you're on the ladder to success, you never have to. You never maybe pause to say, "Do I need any help in this?" No, I'm doing just fine. So I think it's. And that's the definition of humility, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's having that willingness and openness
yes.
to allow God to say, you know what? Even though you've got a huge bank account, 4 cars and 2 homes, you're on the wrong path.
Right.
So you need to pause and listen here. Not that the cars and the homes are bad. It's just... What's the awareness here?
Right.
And am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving those in my life that mm. I need to be paying attention to? So, yes, I think God does, I don't know if he starts at the bottom, but I think he finds a receptivity more
yes.
from those that already kind of have a sense that they need mm. something in life.
And I think that's a great point. Just a couple of minutes left here. And I think any person who has a lot of possessions will be the first person to say something's missing also.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of get to that point too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this opens the door for this, for what we're saying today.
Mm-hmm.
Is God in your life?
Mm-hmm.
What does Christmas mean to you? Is it just 4 days off of work? Or is there something really happening?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and we pray that everyone, of course, will have a wonderful celebration of that, what we would call maybe the secular side of Christmas. I mean, it's wonderful for the children and families to come together, but it all has to be rooted in that sense of why are we giving, why are we pausing to give, to rejoice? Because Jesus is born,
mm.
and that's changed the history of the world for forever. Because, as you pointed out, Deacon Louis, he brings salvation for all of us and makes the difference in our life. So, we extend to one and all a very Merry Christmas in just a day or two, and we pray that God's blessings will come upon you and keep you all in His loving care. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Bradley. Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless you. We love you.